I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back, and Jeff is up next in Oakland. Jeff, thank you, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. Can you have an expert like Pat Ford come on your show the day the Supreme Court delivers a knockdown to the NCAA and its insane rules, and doesn't really have a perspective of how to go, where to go next, and kind of acknowledges that cheating is rampant, and there are a lot of big schools that have managed to get away from with no penalties for years. Let me offer a different suggestion.
Sure.
My suggestion for college athletics, especially the ones that generate money and induce cheating, is to have a steroid division and a non-steroid division. In the steroid division, there are no limits on how many athletes you can sign, especially now that we've also had a transfer portal that doesn't penalize players. In the steroid division, you can have as many players as you want, and you're obligated to pay players a certain amount, plus cover their medical needs for a period beyond their college eligibility, so that in the event that they are injured and they need surgery and other additional treatments down the road, that that's covered as a result of their performance for a school. The school should no longer be able to hide behind the skirts of its not-for-profit status, and this should just simply be other income that's taxed. And then for those schools that simply say, you know what, we don't have the resources, or we don't really want to play with people who are playing with no limits, you'll kind of have the Patriot League, the Ivy League kind of standard for people who don't want to compete in a kind of a highly hyper competitive, hyper market sensitive world. And people will have the ability to opt in, opt out, and kind of say, okay, well, we're now going to do this. And it kind of takes, the nice part about it is, to your question to Pat Ford, is, well, what about, you know, the enforcement function? Well, the enforcement function kind of goes out the door. You don't have to have this huge overhead attempting to, but not really penalizing schools, because schools will either have a common set of rules that they agree to, or you'll have people who agree there are no rules, and whatever we do is okay. And you know, and if you take away and recognize that for some of these schools, some of my favorites, including Bama, you know, these are professional. This is professional sport. When you can look and see that, you know, schools are paying top coaches wages that are in the upper echelon of professional. This is a professional business, and the only scam that's been that the Supreme Court knocked down is you can't turn around and say, well, this is amateur sport, and you know the people who make it happen can't get paid. That's out the door. And the NCAA is going to have to find a different paradigm. And I think the schools are going to have to find a different paradigm to answer the question, what is the responsible place for sport on college campuses?
Yeah, I think you've made a great point, Steve. Jeff, I'm sorry. I don't think we're going to see anyone drop out of this, but I mean, essentially, we already have this with the Ivy League and a few others who, remember last year, decided to walk away from playing during COVID. But I think anyone who is trying to make a profit is simply going to tolerate as much as it may be distasteful, what we're about to enter. And I frankly think we are already entering that phase. Forty said, yeah, there are five or six or seven potential egregious violators, but I think as of this moment, I don't believe the NCAA has any power left to not so much legislate. They can legislate, but I don't see how they can enforce any longer.
Well, you know, it's just ultimately for a group that has been so ingrained with, as Pat said, the philosophy of quote unquote amateur, the amateur student athlete, unquote.
Right.
They're unlike, I think they are going to find it extraordinarily difficult to draw lines as to what the appropriate benefits to students are. And, you know, I'd like the universities to kind of be able to identify exactly what and who they are.
They will to a degree. I mean, they have these mechanisms in place, but I think the real issue is not a student making $15,000 off NIL versus six. It's the rampant cheaters out there who I don't think are even being caught today. And, you know, and there's almost no, I mean, there was a time when I was an investigative reporter where I found it to be just, you know, just cruelly wrong to violate rules. And now I don't really see much of a, you know, much resentment toward that. Even when you hear about these cases, unless it's an isolated situation, Pitino a couple of years ago, maybe a few others. But I mean, even the situation at LSU, you know, the fan base doesn't seem overly concerned to the degree in the basketball case there that everyone else in the media seems to be. There's a disconnect. And if it's your team, you really don't care as long as you win. We'll take a break. We have an hour to go, and we hope you will stick around. It's been a busy show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back on what has been yet another momentous day in intercollegiate athletics. I think we've used that phrase a few times already this summer, even though officially it only began today. But this has been a crazy month of June, and we predicted it, and it has arrived. Today, the long-awaited Alston ruling came in, 9-0 against the NCAA. Reaction has come in from throughout the country, and we just got this statement moments ago from the Southeastern Conference Commissioner, Greg Sankey, and we will share it with you in a moment. It reads, "The Supreme Court's opinion today in the Alston case provides clarity as we move forward to provide additional educationally related benefits to student athletes. What also is clear is the need for the continuing evaluation of the collegiate model consistent with the court's decision and message. Our next step is to engage with our member institutions to consider the implications of the opinion delivered today by the court and to continue our tradition of providing superior educational and competitive opportunities while effectively supporting our student athletes." The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference has now been heard. We are, this is the case. We talked to Steve Berkowitz, who wrote the USA Today story. It ruled in a 9-0 vote, Judge Gorsuch writing the majority, well, the majority opinion, it was 9-0. The most interesting opinion came from Brett Kavanaugh, one of the newer justices on the court, who essentially said the NCAA is not above the law. You will see that quoted over and over again. It irritated Mark Emmert so much that he took exception to it, saying that was only Judge Kavanaugh's opinion, like he's a common street criminal. Anyway, more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's get back to your calls. And Rocky is next up from Louisiana. Hello, Rocky.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
The issue we're having is that the NCAA has kind of run rampant over college athletics and made a lot of money, and they've never really done a good job about managing college athletes anyway. And so now all of a sudden you're seeing this transition of power some, even with the portal, the NIL, all of this stuff. The NCAA is starting to lose their grip a little bit, and they don't like it. And so, to be honest with you, the only way the NCAA is going to work properly if it's almost a volunteer positions to step in, and they break the NCAA regionally throughout the country in four different regions, and people operate that way, and everybody has to operate by the rule. Now, the funny thing about the SEC commissioner is he's basically said, hey, we really care about the student athletes, but we want to really make a lot of money, so we're going to figure it out and try to keep everybody happy, when you know what happens when you try to keep everybody happy. And what's
well, but Rocky, I think he—I don't know. I mean, I know you. I mean, if you're an administrator or a leader, you have to use that phrase, student athletes. I frankly think it ought to be outlawed.
But, I think it should too.
But here's what I thought he said. I mean, I thought there was something more in Commissioner Sankey's message a minute ago. I always, and we'll talk to him at some point soon, but I interpreted that statement to say, we're going to figure this thing out. I didn't hear him say, we are going to figure it out with Mark Emmert. I mean, Greg Sankey is the most powerful person in the sport right now. And let me just read this one line here. He said, as we move forward to provide additional that's not the line I was looking for. Here it is. Our next step, this is what I was looking for. Our next step is to engage with our member institutions to consider the implications of the opinion delivered today by the court. Now, to me, that's saying I'm gonna regroup with our presidents, and then we'll talk to our friends around intercollegiate athletics. I didn't see him say, I'm calling Mark Emmert.
Paul, if Sankey wanted to be a maverick, you know what he would do? You know what he would do?
Okay.
He would call the NCAA, tell them the SEC's out. That's what he would do. He would cut his own contract.
But Rocky, first of all.
Hold on, Paul. Let me just go through.
Well, okay, I want to hear this.
What I'm telling you as far as creating money for the brand. He would cut his own contracts. He would let the schools pay the kids what they want to pay them. He would create a board to tell the kids, hey, man, the common guy that runs down the football field probably isn't going to make as much money as the Finley kid, the quarterback, when he goes into his name, image, and likeness, so to speak. But what he would do was he would tell the NCAA, you get your champion. We'll meet you on January 1st with our champion. Because to be honest with you, Paul, when people turn the TV on Saturday, they want to know who the SEC game is at 3:30 and who the SEC game is at 6:30, and they don't give a flip about Ohio State and all them and Notre Dame because they're not relevant. They don't matter. So if Sankey really wanted to do something, he would secede from the NCAA, create his own sanctioning board, be really hard on people who cheat, create enough money with his players to where Title IX would be fine. You could pay everybody the same. The girls' sports would have the opportunity to make just as much money as the boys' sports per month, and then they could do their own stuff as far as there were popular people back at LSU, like the softball pitcher, Bird. She was very popular back in the day. She probably would have made a lot of money doing commercials and whatnot.
Rocky, I need to leave it there, but I want to say one thing. First of all, I think he might weigh. He's got three schools currently playing in the NCAA-sanctioned College World Series. It's not as simple as that. I'll let the commissioner speak for himself. But right now, he's more the commissioner of the SEC is more powerful than Mark Emmert. He doesn't need to secede. He needs to get a coalition of people of his ilk, other commissioners and influential college presidents, and just simply ignore the NCAA for the time being. The NCAA has no power. It's a paper tiger. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jay is up next in Georgia. Jay, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Jay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I didn't know that was you, Tom.
That's quite all right.
This is going to be much worse than everybody even thinks about. This is going to be the beginning of the end of college football as we know it. Oregon, Southern Cal, Notre Dame, Texas, they'll be the ones who are buying these players, period. And somebody like Saban is skilled, intelligent, and is the cost of a winning culture, he will be left out. There's no doubt. Alabama can't afford to do those. Even Ohio State's got more money than Alabama. And it's a bad road. We're going down a bad road, and I hate to hear you back some of this.
Hold on a second. I've heard this doom and gloom for a long time. But I also know the other side of it, and I'm not just throwing money at you because I understand where you're coming from. I respect that. But fans, I don't believe are as concerned about what you are seeing and others are seeing. Fans want to see the games. And you know,
well, that's exactly right. But they also don't want to see blatant cheating and just buying players.
Really?
That's not what they want. Do what?
I don't know about that. I mean, I've sat behind this microphone many times talking about the cheating going on at a particular school. And
I know. Let me tell you something. I was very close to Ole Miss just a few years ago. My son was over there. I'm not going to go any further.
You don't have to.
I've never been to see. I went over there with Hugh Freeze, and you've been back in Hugh Freeze for years. That what went on over there, you would not believe what went on. You can build a powerful organization by cheating. That's why I don't like that. I don't like anything about it, where it's going. Somebody has got to be in charge of all schools and keep the same.
Well, Jay, okay, Jay, let me ask you this. You understand all the things that are currently going on. How would you do it if you were suddenly the czar of college football?
Hey, listen, I've never had anything against the NAACP because, I mean, not the National Collegiate
NCAA.
They had rules for all schools, all member schools, I guess. They could, you say it's a paper tiger, but they did come down on cheaters if they were reported. They tried anyway.
Well, Jay, I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about June 21st, 2021.
Well, I know. Listen, I know times change, but they listen. Why don't they give those players a better stipend or something? Not let them. What's the pro lineman going?
Jay, hold on a second. Jay, no. You have to listen to one that you. That train is passed. I mean, you live in Georgia, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, the law in Georgia as of this moment is that these players are entitled to profit from their name, image, and likeness. Same over in Alabama. Same in Florida. So your theory on giving them stipends is great, but that train has already left the station.
Yeah, but it all pulled right back into the station. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, it's the beginning of the ruination. There's many people who feel the way I do. I guarantee it.
So okay, so Jay, hold on a second. So when the players start making money, you as a fan are going to do what?
Listen, Paul, let me just say this. There are 22 starters on a football team. Is that correct? From defense and offense?
I mean, yeah. I mean, each side.
What are those practice squad boys supposed to do? They're not going to get a damn dime. They're not going to get a dime. Nobody's going to give them money. And they're the ones that make those teams. You can't practice against yourself.
Well, listen, I hate to run. We will continue this conversation. And I'll say this in deference to Jay. You're not alone. I do believe there is a reckoning coming. Whether it's the ruination of college football, I sincerely doubt. I heard that with baseball in 94, the strike was going to end. Baseball, the steroids was going to end baseball, the strike in the NFL in the late 80s. I mean, we love college sports. We love to watch things. We're fans. We put up with a lot. And we will continue for you. You will have to put up with this show for at least another 45 minutes. We're coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.